show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. We will get to your text in short order. Just keep them coming. Always appreciate the feedback. Joining us now on the line, we haven't been able to hear from him in a while, but he's always been very kind to the show. And even going back to when I was kind of new to radio, when I was at the State House when he was majority leader, let me use his office to do this very radio program. But my pleasure to introduce House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Speaker, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. It's good to hear from you this morning. Yeah, it's been we've been busy lately. It's been schedule's been kind of tight, but things are going well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you can make time for us. I know it's certainly busy, your new role. Well, let's start out here, and you're a year in, the vote. We knew it was, probably going to go this way at some point, and I guess it was official early in the organizational session. But how's it been, from start to where we are now?
Yeah, I think it's went very well. We had a great session, made a lot of improvements, I think, in the state, and passed some really positive legislation and gave tax cuts and tax breaks, rebates, and we've been blessed, got a really good group of chairs, and they do an outstanding job, and our staff is second to none. So we've been blessed. We've had a good run so far. We hit the ground running, and I think been able to accomplish what we've done in first year with all the supporting cast. It's been pretty phenomenal when you think about the whole leadership changed. We had a new clerk, everything was new, but it seems like we were ready and everything went very, very well.
How different was it from the leadership role you were previously in? I mean, they're two very distinct jobs. I don't think people really think about it much, but the difference between what the speaker does, which is kind of just you're in charge of the entire body, and being in a majority leader role in the House.
Well, you're 100% right. It is different as a majority leader. Of course, we were in charge of our 77 members in the House and trying to make sure they were successful in their districts. And to some extent, this is the same way as Speaker. We just changed it from 77 to 105. And, we'll work across the line with both parties. And it's been good. I mean, I guess the thing is the two things that I was fortunate enough to work very closely with Speaker McCutcheon, and he and I was in on a lot of the decision makings that he had made. And of course, at the end of the day, I always followed his lead because he was a speaker, and I think that was beneficial to me. One, and being in leadership role going in, it gave me an opportunity to see how everything went from that perspective. Everybody's got different ideals and want to do things different. Yeah, of course, one of the priorities of mine is always start on time, and I think we achieved that goal this year, and we had a lot of strong votes. If you look at this year's calendars and what we were able to pass, there was a lot of times it was unanimous, and I think that bodes well with all the leadership. And you're working with the minority leader Daniels and moving the state forward, and some of the things that we've done this session certainly proved that.
Well, let's get into the news of the day. The Supreme Court has ruled, and they're taking it into, the Supreme Court, the three-judge federal panel has ruled on the maps you drew in the special session, rejecting them. Probably not a big surprise. Just react to that, if you would.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's a little confusing because they don't want us to gerrymander those districts, but then they ask us to gerrymander them. I mean, that's the only way you can get to those numbers is gerrymandering. So, Voting Rights Act, to me, I don't know that they have fully went by that. I think they, I don't know. We come back and changed it to what I thought was probably they give them 40%, and that was a pretty good move from where we're at, but evidently wasn't enough. And they didn't give us a number saying we got to be at this number or you got to be at that number. They just said something that looks like a minority district. And, with the voting rights law, I mean, do you gerrymander when it tells you not to? According to the law, you can't gerrymander by race. Well, in essence, that's what they did. That's what they want us to do. So it's a little confusing about what they want, what they're looking for. Was it a surprise? No, not a surprise at all. I think at the end of the day that they want more to do with withdrawing the lines and than what the legislative body did. And unfortunately, I think this has been driven by people out of D.C. I know that Eric Holder and Obama had started the pack to try to redraw some of these lines, probably not only in the congressional seats, but also House seats, so state House seats. It's not a surprise. I think the last time I looked, and I have looked since all this has been going on, Eric Holder's got some over $300 million for projects such as this. So it's a way for the Democrats to try to take over the House without a vote being cast.
And, I assume the next logical step would be to hopefully see the Supreme Court, would the U.S. Supreme Court would take it up and take a look at it. Is that what you hope to see happening next out of this?
Yeah, Jeff, that would be our wish, and I hope that happens. I hope they take it up again. And the thing I think that the body tried to do in the Senate and the House and working these issues out is to try to keep communities of interest together. And I certainly did that in your area in Baldwin and Mobile, and to try to compact some of those congressional districts. And they did that. We did those two things, move the number up, but it's evident that it wasn't enough. And so we'll see. We hope it goes to the Supreme Court and we'll have a different outcome.
Joined by State House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Some other things you've been working on, and you talked about this old Capital Journal Friday night with my friend Todd Stacey, but the gambling committee, the ad hoc committee you have going, sounds like it's been hard at work. Andy Witt has, I guess, seen a lot of things that probably a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yeah, I think, Yeah, we put the ad hoc committee together because that was the pro tem. I didn't want to do any gaming on my first year speaker. Plus, we had 36 new members. I felt like everybody needed to, including myself, need to get your feet wet and start learning the roles. And so I'd ask Andy Witt, which cheers tourism, if he would, because if we had any type of legislation, it would go through his committee. If he would put an ad hoc committee together, do a study on it for a year, and let's see where we come back at. And he's done a heck of a job. I applaud him for his effort and his work, and the committee also. They have worked really hard, and this has not just been a committee by name. They've been on the ground working, and Chairman Witt has actually sent out letters to every sheriff in the state, and ask them, have you got them? Show them us. Can we look at them? And it's been surprising. We talked about it on Capital Journal. We thought, when we first started this legislation a couple of years back, we thought there may be 30 illegal operations. We thought it had grown to some 70 maybe. But in what his finding is so far, one county has got almost 70. I think it had 67. So there is very few counties in the state, if any, that has been left out as far as illegal gaming. A mess is going on in buildings that's, behind businesses and sometimes even inside the business. And believe it or not, he was able to buy a scratch off in one of the North Alabama counties, which is unbelievable to me. So this is more than just, are we going to do gaming or not? This is an issue where we've got to clean it up and try to fix it. Maybe we can do that. That's my hope, is that if we do it right, it would eliminate all these illegal operations, which shouldn't be operating now. But it's just hard because of the we just don't have the force to go out and shut them down. And there's so many of them at this point, it'd be tough to do. So my hope is that we'd regulate it with the regulation on the commission, give commission enforcement and also the feet on the ground to take care of it. And with that, clean it up, narrow it back down. Because, let's be honest, we've had gambling in Alabama for decades.
Yeah, and it's just, a matter of, When you go about this and you emphasize the point of needing some kind of regulatory framework, do you think that it just laid it out, or do you go further? How comprehensive do you think you guys will be willing to go next year?
Well, I think we got to get the study back and kind of see what, you know, everybody that, of course, I'm in a different situation, but I don't think it's any different probably in any of the 66 states, you know, 66 counties with my county. And I think everybody's ready to be able to vote on the lottery. We can't pass it. The people's got to pass it. We can put it up for a vote for them. And, of course, in my county, like I said, I may be a little bit different, but I think in the rest of the 67, the 66 counties as well, everybody's wanting to vote. So I think throughout the state, all 67 counties, including mine, of course, I'm right here on the Georgia line, and, you know, it's not as big a deal here, and because everybody is doing it that wants to, and I would dare say around the state, you know, of course, Alabama's circled by states, and we got all those states now, including Mississippi, have some type of gaming. So it's not like it used to be. And I think Alabama's just one of two states that don't have anything. So I do think that there's been an opportunity to clean it up and maybe look at that. I mean, I want to see what the committee comes back with and gets a recommendation before I really go out on what we will be doing. But we should have that fairly soon.
Speaker, something else, I guess, reportedly y'all are going to take a look at, and it's always been kind of a third rail when you talk about what's going on in Alabama politics, ethics and changing the ethics laws. And I get it, I guess. I mean, you ask any expert on Alabama's ethics laws and you could get, you know, 10 different answers, right? That, you know, they're vague, and maybe in some cases, that sort of vague, broad, it can be interpreted a bunch of different ways. But what do you think you need to do? What does that look like this coming year?
Yeah, I think Chairman Simpson has done a great job, and I think looking at it, what I'd like to see us do, Jeff, is clean up exactly what you just described. Earlier on, about 2 years ago, we had four different lawyers that should be versed on ethics reform and on questions it was asked to by the body that was all giving different answers. So that's what we're trying to do, is clean it up. I mean, it's got to be more transparent so people knows what they can or can't do. There's too much gray area. You know, our members, if they know what they can or can't do, they're going to follow the rule of the law. The problem is now there's so much gray in this, the ethics law is there. And I think Chairman Simpson and his committee has been working on it. I think we'll see something come back that can clean that up and get it more transparent. And anybody probably that voted on that when it first came out, it was in a rush and pushed out probably a little quicker than it should have been. I don't blame anybody for trying to clean up ethics. It's something that hadn't been touched in 30 years before the 2010 change. But, you know, it's time now that we look, take a serious look at it and clean it up and get it where everybody understands it. Not only that, but it affects so many people in our state that we need to really take a deep look at it.
Well, how are you going to do that? You're just going to have to take the incoming fire and the critics, and because whenever this is brought up, and I think some well-intentioned people have tried to take this approach in the past, and in the end, you know, a bad radio interview or whatever get hit in the media, and then it just sort of falls apart after that. You know, like, how are you going to be able to keep that from happening again?
No, that's a good point, Jeff. I think the thing that we have got to let people know that by making it more transparent, of course, it's going to make it stronger because we know what we can and can't do. People can stay, you know, if there's a line, stay behind it. If you know where it's at, you can do that. And I think that's what we got to do. And, you know, I get it. I mean, there's some people that is going to be critical about anything we do. But I think all of us would agree that this thing needs fixed. And that's what we're trying to do. I mean, there's no hidden agenda on it. It's just the fact that we got people across our state, be it school teachers or people that works with the government or out there that's underneath this law that, you know, for the most part, they don't even know what it does. And I think at the end of the day, we just got to have a strong commitment from the body to look at this thing seriously just because you get an interview or somebody gets one that maybe isn't positive about it. That's no reason to stop trying to fix the problem. We all know there's a problem. I don't think there's anybody in the media or anybody would disagree that there's a problem with Alabama's ethics law. And it's not that it's not necessarily that it's a bad law. It's just that you don't really know where the lines are and you know, and what you can and can't do. So I think, the thing we're trying to do is make it more transparent where people can go by the law.
Real quick, we're running short on time here, but prisons, the costs have gone up. We went from 630-something-odd million to nearly $1 billion there in Elmore County. You had the special session in 21. It looks like you're going to be pretty close tapping out on the money you guys allocated for that. I mean, what do you do there? Are there some things you could do beyond that with the Alabama Department of Corrections?
Well, you know, I don't know. We have certainly been in contact with the governor's office and shared our concerns of the construction costs. It's gotten way out of hand. And, you know, across the Alabama, not just Alabama, but the country, construction on everything has went through the roof. And it's got a lot to do with how much was going on and everything ramped back up after the pandemic. And the supply and demand issue hit there in the middle of this. The construction supplies went straight through the roof, and we used I think it's $400 million of the first round of the CARES Act because it was lost revenue because of the pandemic, so we're able to use that. And as you said, I think we went to the market on about $700 million, and so I think we'll be okay. We'll be close, Jeff, and you're right, it's going to be one of those things where it's really tight, and it's going to be probably close to $1 billion. But the issue is, this does serve as part of what the federal government wanted us to do. It takes care of the mental health issue inside the prison, takes care of workforce development inside the prison, and also has a component for health care. So I think that was one thing that the federal government had really pushed on. This does all of the above. None of us are happy with the price. It got out of hand. I wish we'd have done it 2 years earlier, like, you know, a lot of people, including myself, wanted to do instead of the lease thing, but we didn't. This is where we're at today, and you know, we got to do something, or we're going to continue to be tracked by the federal government. And, you know, the last thing we need to do is turn thousands of prisoners in Alabama loose.
Speaker, I always appreciate your time. You've always been very kind to this show and to me personally. But best of luck to you in this upcoming year. Hopefully we get you on again real soon.
Jeff, I appreciate it. Let's do that. We've got a lot of issues to talk about. Certainly, I think people of Alabama deserve the right to know what's going on with their government and with the state legislative body. So we appreciate you giving us an opportunity.
Thank you for coming on. House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Why can't you see?